Previously on the Infinite Escape Room.
There we go, now I'm recording, yes. There we go, now I'm recording. There we go, now I'm recording, yes. There we go, now I'm recording, yes. There we go, now I'm recording, yes. I have a wibbly.
Hello, and welcome to the Infinite Escape Room, the puzzling podcast of porous pals ponderously prevaricating over pertinent perils, particularly poorly in person. Tis I, your host, Jonathan David Charles Saunders II, father to a rangy girl, husband to an Irish maven, and I shall have my vengeance in this podcast or the next. Locked in with me today, we have the team, and they are...
Hello, I'm Ben Levy Griffiths, and I recently staged a rebellion on a container of hard-won coconut chocolates. Yes, I staged a mutiny on a bounty of bounties.
You bastard.
Ben, please tell me you didn't just pull that out of a hat just now, because I feel...
I've been working on it for the last 4 hours.
Oh, I think he's got, like, shelves of that stuff just out of shot, just waiting.
Hi, I'm Anikos, and I'm the mother of two identical twin girls, and we still haven't figured out which one is the evil one.
I was going to say, the one that is violent, the one that is possessed, the one that is, screams, the one that does terrible things, but that's all both of them.
And equally, they're both so adorable and so wonderful and leave me love notes and things and tell me they love me and that I'm the best mommy in the world. So it's difficult. I don't know. Maybe they're playing the long game. I don't know.
They definitely are, because in some way, in some small, strange way, they are waiting for you to die.
Oh, don't say that. We have like long conversations about this, about how that. But when you're dead, I won't be able to talk to you anymore. And I'm like, oh.
They think, like, young kids think a lot about dying.
Oh, that, yeah.
I remember that. I remember sort of turning it over and, yeah, and being kind of concerned about it and wondering what that would be like and what that all meant and, you know.
I remember for several years when I first closed my eyes each night, I just saw like a panning view of a graveyard.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
Panning.
How old were you?
I'm guessing like between like 4 and 6 or 7.
Wow.
Like it freaked me out for a long time. But I always then knew that if I opened my eyes and closed them again,
it would be gone.
Yeah, you could reset it.
It would just be blackness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Panning view of a graveyard. Hello, dear listener. You may be wondering what this podcast is about. This is not a morbid reflection on the inevitability of death. No! This is the Infinite Escape Room. How it works is every 2 weeks, a member of the team brings the room. Today, it's me. And the rest of the team, today, that's Ben and Anikos, bring the brains to solve it. They have a strict time limit, and terrible things shall befall them should they cock it up. And it's kind of my responsibility to make sure they don't. So here we are. Every room in the Infinite Escape Room links seamlessly into the next one in one big, never-ending escape adventure. And that's the shtick, really. Is that about it? I feel like it's a pretty good summary. Now, every episode of the Infinite Escape Room is brought to you with considerable financial support. Today's episode is brought to you by amateurism, that most English of traits, the gentlefolk who, though they can afford to hire a plumber, car mechanic, roofer, physio, electrician, surgeon, or vet, instead elect to save a few quid and do it themselves. This is for every mislabeled wire, every ugly but it works pipe, every oil change that somehow spilt everywhere. This is for all the gaffer tape roof tiles, the mild electrocution, and shallow pet graves that litter the homestead of the amateur. This show is a rallying cry of how hard can it be, of 3 days lost to a 2-hour job, of intricate knowledge pointlessly accrued, of looking a tradie in the face and saying, nay sir, 'twas I that fucked it and I shall unfuck it or die trying. This is that thing in the cellar that you show all your guests, bursting with pride that you built it yourself. This is for the few, the happy few, who do not put a monetary value on their free time and who would burn the world, their fingers, their marriage and possibly their house down to know that they fixed it. They, the amateur with bleeding hands and steely eyes, cried, "It works!" into the empty night long after the professionals are abed. This show is for you, by you, and a salute to you, the amateurs. Cheers. And that was today's sponsor.
I wonder if there's like a raging right-wingers who spit at the fact that surely, with all this pronoun nonsense, that it has to be called do it themselves rather than do it yourself.
Okay, so if anyone out there has a problem with what I just said was my use of the term themselves, then you can go and fuck themselves.
But I did think that it would be wonderful to start calling it Do It Themselves, because then you could do a ditty, and that sounds lovely.
Just doing a ditty, Do It Themselves.
I did wonder whether you were going to mention the surgery, the casual... Because you mentioned people.
Well, I figure DIY surgery is the sort of DIY that you do once.
Yes. Well, I wondered whether there was going to be a joke to that effect.
Nah, I kind of forgot about it. Got a bit carried away.
It's all right.
And actually, on the last show that I did, we did bring up at length how Alad might go about doing a DIY vasectomy.
We did.
We did.
Yes,
that was a thing.
We talked so much about babies and about children that Alad...
That Alad threatened to give himself the snip.
Yeah. He's like, I will bang my balls on this table for as long as it takes if you don't just shut up about children and parenting.
When you started talking about that, I envisaged, you know, like how the typical image of a child wanting to pull out their tooth with a bit of string on the door. Yeah. I've had that image, but somewhere else.
Oh, God, that is the most horrendous. Oh, that sends shivers down my spine. Mm. Do not like that. Now, amateur hour notwithstanding, this show is genuinely brought to you by financial contributions, and they are brought by our Patreons, our growing legion of... Would fans be the appropriate term? Or sort of, I don't know, emotional support people? Approving good folk out there who give us a few pounds, dollars, yen, whatever the currency of choice is, to keep the show on the metaphoric road. Thank you guys for your support. And tonight, I'd like to give a special thanks to Dave Shaw, Jade Shaw, wife of the deceased, Carolyn Hardman, and Helen Bailey, also of this parish. Thank you. Okay. How are you guys feeling? Onikos is looking at me with disapproval in her eyes.
No, I had that moment of going, oh, I have the feeling of how I'm feeling. I just don't have the words for it.
No, I understand that feeling.
But, you know, throw a room at me and I'm sure I'll muddle through.
You will burst into life, I've no doubt. And this room is an easy one.
Famous last words.
I know I've said that many times, but I genuinely believe it to be true that this one is an easy one.
It's got to be true one of these days, right?
It has. It has indeed.
As long as I don't end up hacking off an actor's head again, that would be really nice. Great. He makes no guarantees.
I'm just thinking, would you be responsible for the death of anyone in this one? Depends. Depends how it goes. So, good luck to you both. Are you ready to enter the Infinite Escape Room?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Then let us enter. Last week, the team found themselves trapped inside a giant wicker man with a toasty fire taking hold at its feet. You escaped by satisfying the clawing hands in each of the wicker man's limbs and body and replacing its heart in its rightful place, a pedestal in the center of the room. With that, the wicker man lurched into life and took off across the countryside with you trapped inside. You are stuck in its chest cavity. All passages to the other areas are now blocked by wicker, willow screening, and tasteful garden trellis. Smoke rises from beneath you. The wicker man lets out a deep, sonorous groan of pain, stops, and looks down at his giant feet. Above the heart pedestal, an orb of water appears. The wicker man groans again, turns, and begins marching purposefully across the countryside. On the horizon, you can see his goal, the ocean. He will reach it in 30 minutes. If he takes a swim with you inside, you shall surely drown. Your time starts now.
WTF? Okay.
Okay.
So his feet are on fire.
Yes. And he's marching across the countryside towards the ocean.
Yeah. What else can we see around us?
Okay, so you're inside his chest cavity. In front of you is the heart pedestal that I just mentioned. There's also a forge over on your left, and over on your right are some storage areas. It's quite a big chest cavity.
Yeah, I was going to say, like this. I mean, I'm not very familiar with being inside a wicker man, but it sounds quite big. Also, having a forge inside a thing built of wicker is interesting. Can we go have a look at the forge? Is it
literally intended to catch fires? So you know.
Yeah, but like, why have a working forge in there? You know, you're going to lose all that amazing blacksmithery pokery.
Well, that's 1 minute stuff. Gone.
There we go. So, Forge, is it working? What's happening with that? What do we know? What do we need to know about the Forge?
We take a look at the Forge?
Yes, please.
Okay. It is an industrial forge made up of a kiln. Think a large and very powerful pizza oven with an open door and a chute for fuel to one side. There is a stone smelting pot and a small stone tablet containing a thick layer of very flat, fine, compacted sand. Next to the kiln are two iron buckets.
What's in the buckets?
Nothing.
Okay. So just very quickly, smelting pots. Was there something in the smelting pots?
No, there's nothing. There's one smelting pot. So that's a big stone pot that's obviously fireproof. You could put something you were going to smelt in it.
And there was something with sand?
Yes. A small stone tablet containing a thick layer of very flat, fine, compacted sand.
Is the oven on? Is the kiln on?
Nope.
What happens if we tap the sand off of the thing?
There's nothing underneath the sand. The sand's sort of slightly wet, so you could, you can kind of manipulate it, but it is sort of firm. It's not going to just go everywhere.
Are there any apparatus, like big tongs or anything like that?
Let's say there's some giant oven gloves so you can get things in and out, sure.
What about the cabinets?
Or the storage areas. So the storage areas are over to the other side of the room, and they're not so much cabinets as three large cavities in the wicker man's chest. And they're all up against the edge of his chest, like the external wall. There are strong wicker doors on the far side of each cavity, but they are firmly shut. They appear to only open from the outside.
And then in the centre of the room is a pedestal with the heart on and an orb of water floating above it.
Yes. And by that, I mean, so have you ever seen footage of, like, on the International Space Station, the way that water sort of floats in zero gravity? It's kind of like that, but a bit bigger, floating above the heart pedestal. I should say, inside the storage areas, there are a few items.
What's inside the storage areas, Jonathan?
So there is a double-breasted suit jacket in one. In another, there's a sheep's skull. And in the third, you notice that the wicker on one of the walls makes up some writing.
What's the writing say?
The writing says, I'm going to put this in the text channel, that.
R space I D space R N space I E. So they're obviously probably, the second space is quite long. So I'm going to guess that we're looking, that probably has two letters in it. So I think we might be missing four or maybe five letters, because there could be something right at the end as well.
Because it looks like there's one letter missing between the R and the ID, and then two or three between the D and the R, and then maybe two between the N and the I. What happens if I put my hand into the big bubble of water floating above the heart space?
Your hand gets kind of wet, so the water is real, but you're not really able to sort of move it or do anything with it.
Okay.
It just sort of blobules around you.
Is there anything else that we can look at, can touch, can jiggle around, can pull off a wall?
Okay, so if we take a closer look at the heart pedestal itself, because we've sort of glossed over it a bit, there is further writing visible on the side of it.
Oh, okay, so that is E-U-L space H space I, and then a very long space, and then A, and then another slightly long space, but slightly shorter space than the previous one, and then the letter N for November. Is there a way in which when we stand at a certain angle and look at the letters, that the letters line up, so the ones from the heart pedestal line up with the ones on the wicker wall?
No, you can't see them from each other.
And if we look through the floating ball of water?
There's nothing there.
Magically make something convex or con something else.
Just to get up to speed from last week, we put the heart into place and then the Wicker Man started moving. Is that, came to life, is that?
Yes, and the clawed hand kind of locked in around there.
Oh, okay, because that was my thinking, is that if we want to stop the Wicker Man, could we not simply take the heart off?
No, there's a big glowing red heart in there, but you're not getting it off.
And the hand is made of?
Wicker.
Wicca. Oh, right. Okay.
Have you tried like dealing with heavily built Wicca?
No, but I was.
It's pretty tough stuff, Ben.
So my thinking was we could simply take the heart off and that would stop the Wicca Man. Lovely. Mm. Then it was like, oh, maybe if it was like made of metal, the forge comes into play because we can like, you know, forge it off or something. Mm. I'm wondering whether we take one of the iron buckets or the iron bucket and maybe try and like catch this globule of water. I don't know what that would get us, but
we can give it a go.
Okay, you can. Doing so successfully removes the water. And once you've done that, the Wicker Man stops moving.
Oh. Okay.
A few seconds later, though, he once again groans in pain, looks down at his feet, and the water globule reappears above the heart. And then he continues his march towards the sea.
And does it disappear from the bucket?
That was my question, too.
Yes.
Ah, okay. Right. So it moves back.
Okay. Hmm. So we've got the storage areas and we've got the forge. Is there anything else apart from the heart and pedestal?
Nothing really.
The double-breasted suit jacket.
Oh, yes.
And this cheap skull. We can't get to them, presumably.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can pick them up.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, you have them.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought they were beyond the doors.
No, to be clear, those doors are the outside world.
Oh, so there is a...
Like a portal, like a Narnia. So theoretically, if we could open those
doors,
we could leave.
Yeah,
you'd just be on the outside of the Wicker Man. That's like the edge of his chest.
Okay.
So is there anything in the... What happens if we put on... if one of us puts on the double-breasted jacket?
You look very fine.
Oh, lovely. Is there anything
in
any of the
pockets? It's navy blue, lovely gold buttons. It's gorgeous.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Gold buttons don't really ring my bell, but is there anything in the pockets?
Nope.
Is there anything specific about the gold buttons?
No, they're gold buttons.
Yeah, can I rip them off, chuck them in a bucket, and put them in the oven and turn the kiln on and see what happens?
Okay, you're going to need some fuel for that forge. There is a chute for fuel.
Yeah, but no.
We haven't come across any fuel.
Well, you haven't looked in it to see if there's any in there.
Is there any fuel in there?
There is a single piece of coal. And on the side of the chute, you notice some writing.
Oh, there we go. So that is a B and a big space and T, E, big space, O, space, M, space, D. Build the Iron Maiden. Rebuild the Iron Maiden. Okay, so we need to rebuild the Iron Maiden.
As you utter the phrase... The wicker surrounding the heart pedestal shifts and grows, forming intricate writing. The writing says this.
Body of iron, hair of finest white, buttons for eyes to make them bright. And though she be but a doll for a wife, forge her with a man to give her life.
And beneath the writing, you now see the glowing shape of a crudely drawn woman.
Okay, so we need to forge some... iron, presumably? Oh, the buckets. Okay, so we need to melt the buckets and use the buttons from the jacket for some eyes. What happens if we put the buttons already in the space where the eyes would go on that crudely drawn?
Nothing.
First, very quickly, before I forget about it, could we have a little look at the sheep skull?
Mm. Yes, it is a sheep skull.
Anything remarkable about it?
It's definitely a sheep skull.
I didn't jump to trying to put the buttons on the eyes of the picture, but rather maybe they are eyes for the sheep skull.
Oh, great. Let's try that.
Interesting idea. You now have a blingy sheep skull.
Ooh. Okay.
And maybe just upturn the iron bucket and put it on top, and that's like, you know, a body of iron. And then we just need to figure out the hair of finest white.
I really love the thinking. It's wonderful.
But no.
That's not the answer. It is wonderful, but it's not the answer.
You said it was going to be easy. That was just, you know, my...
You have 16 minutes remaining.
Okay, great. So we need to rebuild the Iron Maiden. Body of iron. Hair of finest white. Is there anything in the room that's... Oh, is the sand very white?
No. Sand's quite dark, actually.
Oh. But I wonder whether finest white could simply be the sand we might be able to smelt into glass, and glass is see-through, but maybe technically white. No, I'm getting a face from John.
Is C2 technically white? Is that...
Well, it's not black, is it? Right, or green?
No, it's not. I would argue see-through is none of the above.
It's more white than any of the other colours, I'd probably say.
I feel like, Ben, and I love this, but I feel like you do what my brain does, which is rather than looking at the most obvious answer, you go, but I'm sure it's not the most obvious answer. And then you concoct this amazing, very elaborate answer, which takes me...
It's not just you guys.
Yeah.
It's not perhaps, just you guys. It's nearly every escape room team ever.
Perhaps it's the same as you. Is that there's not a consciously obvious answer that I'm saying, no, it can't be that. It's
no.
Or that the obvious has just not come to me yet.
So if I could sort of bring you guys back to your mission at hand, what do you need to do?
Either escape from the Wicker Man or stop him running into the ocean.
Okay. You know you can temporarily stop him from running into the ocean because when you take the water away with the bucket...
Yes.
He stops what he's doing.
Yeah. But that only lasts for a couple of seconds. So, I mean, one of us would have to constantly be doing that while the other one somehow builds a body of iron and hair of finest white. Are you expecting us to pick out our white hairs?
You don't have white hairs. Not that I'm aware of anyway, and I would not require them from you.
Okay.
In order to smelt the iron, right, what are you going to need?
Well, we're going to need some iron.
Okay, you've got some iron in the form of a bucket.
And we have a single coal, which I don't know how...
Mm-hmm. It's not enough. You're going to need some more.
Yeah, so where do we find more coal is my question.
I've already told you.
Oh. right, we're going to go to the place that you've told us that the extra coal is,
and we're going to go get it. I've not told you where it is. I've told you how to get it. I've told you how to get everything.
Okay. Can we...
This is your annual episode screaming at the radio moment.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Bi-weekly, not annual.
Let's scoop out the heart water place thingy and put the coal in the place and see if the coal reappears.
The Wicker Man stops moving, turns suddenly, and then plunges his arm into the side of a nearby hill. He rummages deep in the earth for a moment and then pulls out a giant fistful of coal. With his other hand, he opens one of the storage doors, shoves the pile of coal inside, and then closes the door. He pauses, notices his burning legs, and then the giant water droplet reappears again above the heart pedestal, and he continues his march towards the sea.
Ooh.
So, sorry, we just put we got the coal out of the chute and put it where the water was, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, lovely.
Time is ticking on and the fire has reached the upper legs at the edges of your little room.
It's getting toasty. Okay. So let's fire up the kiln.
Okay.
But also let's put a bucket of iron instead of the instead of the drop of water and see if we can get us some iron.
I didn't think of that.
Really? It seems so obvious once you made us do that.
But you have iron.
Yeah, but I don't know whether two buckets is going to be enough. You might be... body of iron, I don't know. You know, you might want like an actual physical giant body. So, all right, so we don't need to do that. Great. In that case, let's chuck one of the...
The Wicker Man shrugs and carries on.
Right, okay. Can I take one of my white hairs, which I do have, and put that in the place where... the place of multiplying...
It just wafts away on the breeze immediately.
Could we please take the sheep skull and place that where the water was?
Yeah.
The Wicker Man stops moving, turns suddenly, and then reaches into a nearby sheep field. He plucks a fistful of baaing sheep. With his other hand, he opens up one of the storage doors, shoves them inside, and then closes the door.
Hair of finest white. Okay.
Notices his burning legs afresh. The giant water droplet reappears again above the heart pedestal and he continues his march toward the sea. The storage area is now filled with dead, wounded, and at the very least, terrified sheep.
Do we have any way to shear these sheep?
You have your hands. That's enough. You can get some wool off them if you need it. 10 minutes.
So we had one of the storage rooms had the buttons. The other one had the sheep skull and then we got him to get us the wool. What did the third one have again?
That's some writing.
That's some writing.
Which you've already...
But now has coal in, presumably, right?
Yes, one storage room has coal in, one has sheep in.
Could we take the jacket buttons and again put them where the water droplet was? I'm presuming that that's not going to be enough. What we have already is not going to be enough for the eyes. So we need more gold.
Why would you need more? There's only two eyes.
Yeah, but buttons are very small, and eyes are potentially, you know, a bit bigger than we now have.
But I guess the
fuck's sake,
she's a doll. So maybe she's just small.
I still had in my head that we were making eyes for this sheep skull, but we're not.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. No, we're not, Ben. No.
Jonathan, how are we doing? Because we've chucked the coal in.
9.5 minutes.
So how's the kiln doing? And can we chuck one of the iron buckets
in? You can fire up the kiln if you like. Yep. You've got the fuel.
Yep. I'm going to fire up the kiln.
Okay. It's getting hot very quickly. What are you doing with it?
I am going to melt the iron...
In the smelting pot.
In the smelting pot, yes, yes, yes.
Okay, now let's say for the sake of argument that happens pretty quickly. You have some molten iron in your very hot smelting pot.
Great.
This stone tablet and sand, can we arrange the sand such that it covers the stone slab and then sort of with our finger like etch out a body so that it has like a, like so somewhere that we can pour the molten iron.
Absolutely. So
and then pour the molten iron into it.
Okay, so you're drawing out the shape of the woman. Is that the...
Yes.
Correct, yes.
Is that the idea? Okay, yes. Cool. Yeah, you have your red, hot, glowing shape of a woman, but she's far too hot to do anything with.
Can we stick her in the cold water?
You can. Very good. Okay, you have your iron body.
So let's now comb out some of the sheep wool with our fingers.
Okay, great.
Make a nice little wig for the little doll.
Okay, great.
And
take out two of those gold buttons off the double-breasted coat blazer.
Okay. Nothing happens.
Can we put it in the heart space?
I mean, it just sort of lies there.
Okay.
Nothing happens. 7.5 minutes.
What if we put it up against the crude drawing of the doll that was the crude drawing of the woman that was on the wall?
Nothing happens.
Does it? It says at the end of this poem, and though she be but a doll for a wife, forge her with a man to give her life. Do we also need to forge a man?
Yes, let's forge a man with the other iron bucket.
Yes.
Interesting.
Oh, no?
I had not considered that. It does not work.
Oh.
But it's an interesting idea.
What if we take the woman doll and place her into the space where the water was, is whatever?
It doesn't work.
Okay.
Forge her with a man. Do we need to just like, do we need to give her a wedding ring and make her marry the man that we've just made?
I mean, it's very befitting of a giant wicker man, isn't it? But no.
Well, no. Okay. Can we shout out, "Yoo-hoo, Mr. Wickerman"?
He ignores you.
And no, okay.
The tiny voice inside his chest.
Have we? Not that this means anything, but I think we've
Ben,
used.
I'm very glad you're here because Onoko couldn't do this on her own.
Thank you for your vote of confidence, but I agree.
Sure.
Oh wait. Okay. So hang on. Okay. So, but Ben, that must mean that you have skills that I do not, which I'm sure is true. But then the question is, what specific skills do you have?
Well, I did less of a skill and more that I possess something that you don't.
You are a man. Wait, hang on. Do you need to do anything with her to bring her to life? Do you need, like... is it one of these? Does he need to pee on her? Can I not solve it because I'm a woman and it needs to be... It needs to be a man who gives her life.
Oh, my God.
Is this even the rib all over again?
No.
Okay.
You're on the right track, though.
Do I need to specifically forge her?
No.
Okay.
Body of iron, hair of finest white, buttons for eyes to make them bright. Mm-hmm. And though she be but a doll for a wife, forge her with a man to give her life.
Do we need to marry her off to Ben?
Remember the conversation we had earlier about reaching for a more complicated interpretation?
Yes.
Of simple things.
What do you mean forge her with a man then?
You're trying to melt me down as well?
Well, I mean, then you'd be dead, Ben, and we don't want that.
But then maybe Anarchist could get out.
That's very kind. I mean,
that's noble.
That's very kind and noble of you.
Just straight up self-sacrifice. I think that says something about your personality.
I think I'd worry a bit, Ben, because if that wasn't the answer, then there I'd be still stuck in a wicker man heading to the
sea. And also, then Anarchist's record would not just be killing NPCs, it would be killing fellow teammates.
That would,
which is definitely worse.
I don't know that I'd get invited back if that was my record.
Four minutes.
Yeah.
You mean forge her with a man?
I think that it means that we have to do something together at the same time. You couldn't do it on your own, which means two things need to happen at the same time. It's just figuring out what those two things are, right? No?
Don't let me stop you.
I mean, do we need to, like, hold hands with each other and the little doll and
again,
chant
very,
the chant?
Very pagan, very Wicker Man, very on theme for this, but totally pointless. Oh. Would you like a steer?
Yes, I think
we have
one.
To, yeah.
Yeah.
Every other item you required, you have gone to get in a certain way.
Yeah, we've done it with the weird pedestal thingy.
Anarchist, I'm glad Ben's here because you couldn't do this room on your own.
Okay, so Ben, can you stand? I'm going to take away the water and you're going to stand in the place.
And then
the water,
I stand where the water is.
Yeah.
Yes, let's do that.
The Wicker Man stops moving, turns suddenly, and then reaches into a nearby village. He plunges his fist through a cottage roof and retrieves a bearded, affable English-stroke Welshman and then shoves his body into the chest cavity. Unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, he has not survived the trip.
Oh, and now what happens if we place the doll next to the dead man?
Well, nothing.
Oh, bollocks. So now we have a dead man and a doll.
Let's try it again.
Let's try it again. Try what again?
I'm going to stand where the water was.
Just going to keep killing villagers.
Because man retrieves another unfortunate local. Shoves them into the chest cavity, killing them in the process.
This whole process must take at least 30 seconds, so I keep on doing this. We'll have lots of men to choose from, and we should ramp up our time.
I mean, I suppose technically I do have to give you a bit more time here.
You do, yeah.
You're holding the Wicker Man's journey back from the sea, but not in the method that I was anticipating.
But because
you resorted to mass murder.
I'm standing again.
But when we put the doll in that place, nothing happens.
Correct.
God damn it, what are we missing?
Forge we can't her with a man to give her life.
Forge.
What happens if we put the little wicker, not the wicker, the little iron man that we made in that place?
Nothing.
What happens if we drag one of the bodies to the forge?
Oh, my
okay.
God.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Chucking it in
we're
the fire.
We're going to put it in the kiln.
Okay.
In the smelting pot, right? We're going to, like, fold it in there.
Well, I'd argue it probably won't fit in the smelting pot, but it could go in the kiln. It's a big kiln.
Yeah, all right.
Great. And then we're going to get the smelting pot and, like, scoop a bit out and then put it in our stone mould.
Okay. Currently you don't have any iron in there. You've just got the iron doll that you made.
Oh, so let's put the iron doll back in.
No. There's an actual person. I'm scooping bits of human.
Yeah. No, great.
But we need to forge it with the doll.
With iron as well.
So doll and the man.
We chuck the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that.
I mean, I don't know what else to try.
So with the dead body inside the kiln, you're forging the doll again.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it? You tell us.
Okay. You have another iron doll that smells a bit of cooked human.
Has she got life yet? No.
Well, and then we put the we put the button eyes on and we put the hair on again.
Now assembled, the Iron Maiden snaps into life. She leaps to her feet, bounds across the room to the heart pedestal and wraps herself around it in a tight embrace. The water droplet over the heart pedestal vanishes and the Wicker Man stops his march towards the sea, suddenly unconcerned by the fire. He sinks to his knees and then lies down slowly on the side of a hill. Finally, as the flames rise around you, his giant fist deftly opens the door to his chest cavity. You race through the open door and escape. Congratulations, you've solved my puzzle. With 1 minute to go.
I'm amazed that we did it that fast because it yeah.
I'm presuming the minute that we had spare is just from us making the Wickerman stop, because by my reckoning,
there was
we were
a bit of
pretty
that,
much
yes.
out of time. Yes.
Yeah. but you would have been only just out of time. But yes, well done, guys. You got that. Man, that was a real example of what you think is quite clear logic. We were discussing this earlier, Ben. What you think is quite clear logic not being clear to people you approach.
Sounds like something for us to discuss next week.
In the pub episode, yeah.
Yes, it does. We shall discuss this and many more things, particularly why Onikos's go-to for Forge It With A Man was pee on it.
Listen, I don't know how many episodes I've done so far, but at least two or three have involved one of you men peeing on something to make something happen.
Okay,
so
well,
it's
actually,
not
well, that's
that outrageous,
true, isn't it? I'm thinking that is true.
The backstage one, there was something where we had to mix liquids into certain colors, and Mikey had to pee, and so he peed in one of the cups that one of the actors then drank, I think, so something like that. Yes,
that
I didn't
case,
make this up. It was Jonathan and Mike,
case,
and Mike.
For future episodes, for the sake of fairness, funnels shall be provided.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you next week for the pubisode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.